You're listening to Radio Area.
Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush, a vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. In the old spot by the river, right well known to you and me. One word more for signal token, whistle up the marching tune. For your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon. With your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. Out from many a mud wall cabin eyes were watching through the night. Many a manly chest was throbbing for the blessed warning light. Farmers passed along the valleys like the banshee's lonely croon. And a thousand blades were flashing at the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon.
Greetings from the Northwest Homeland, comrades. I'm Harold Covington, and this is Radio Free Northwest.
She's alive! Alive!
What if I told you that every time you went grocery shopping, and it doesn't matter what store you shop at, where you shop at in the country, a percentage of your grocery bill goes to fund a foreign power, a very belligerent foreign power at that. If I told the average American on the street, the average dumbass American on the street, that that money was going to, say, let's say, Iran, they would be enraged, livid. They would throw a fit. They would immediately organize a group and go to Washington and demand, insist that immediately this practice cease. Such a thing is happening, but the money isn't going to Iran. The money is going to Israel. Every single time you go grocery shopping, you are paying money to Israel. Not only are they sucking your tax dollars and sending it over to Israel through IPAC and other sleazy means, in the name of foreign aid, sending money over to help fund the mass murdering of the Palestinians, but your grocery bill. Yes, those Zionist pieces of trash have concocted a way. Oh, they've got all kinds of schemes up their sleeve, folks. There are many scams they're pulling, but this is yet another one. One that escapes the notice of most people, even though nearly every product you pull off of your grocery shelf today has that little kosher stamp on it. And what that tells you is you are paying for that. This is something to get outraged about, but nobody, once again, seems to care. Nobody's doing anything about it. What we'll be discussing today is yet more proof that there is no Jewish conspiracy. Right, exactly. There's no Jewish conspiracy. We should just be glad, overjoyed, and rejoice in the streets, dancing and singing, that we are paying money out to the Israeli government every time we go shopping. Because after all, Israel is God's chosen people. And it doesn't matter that they're caught spying on us on a daily basis. It doesn't matter that they attempt at every turn to sabotage our government, that they take our military secrets, top military secrets, and sell them to China all the time. On and on and on and on and on. None of these things matter. We should be glad, right? If any other country did this, especially an Arab country, let's bomb them off the map. But Israel can do this, and it's okay. Once again, guys, every time you go shopping, you are paying Jewish rabbis who take their cut and then turn around and send the rest to Israel. You are paying Jewish rabbis and ultimately the government of Israel a hidden kosher tax. Most of this money is sent to Israel, probably to fund the war against the Palestinians. Did you know this? Did you also know that it doesn't just go on here? They pulled this scam off up in Canada. They pulled it off in countries all over Europe. Indeed, countries all around the world, guys. So that every time almost everybody on the planet goes grocery shopping, a percentage of their bill goes to Israel. It's freaking unbelievable. There's no other group on the planet that pulls off or even dares to pull off a scam like this, and yet there they are doing it all the time. Oh, boy. Most packaged and canned foods from major companies like Procter & Gamble have a U, a K, or other similar markings on them indicating that they are, quote, kosher. In addition to the K and the U, other letters that indicate a kosher tax include, and you might want to take these down, folks, these are just a sampling, but, you know, this should help clue you in. You might see VKR, USK, or UKS, ORB, ORS, RCC, NK, VHK, KMD, LVKC. Each one of these represents the local or regional group that stamps these products as certified kosher. ARK, KCL, KSA, KAJ, HK, MK. Kind of like MK Ultra. KLBD, KOR, DK, CK, AKC, on and on and on it goes. All of them mean the same thing, though, that they are certified as kosher. You know, if they want to practice their religious beliefs and eat kosher foods, on and it goes, that's fine. They're certainly welcome to do that. But they need to pay for it themselves. But no, they get you to pay by having your grocery bill already high as it is. And, of course, they're behind that scam, too, by creating artificial food shortages, on it goes. But, no, that's not enough. They make your bill even higher by flipping you the bill to have a rabbi come in and certify these products as kosher. Oh, and that's not it. I'll get into it later in more detail. There's a lot of other measures that food companies must take, very costly measures, to ensure that their products can be certified as kosher. You won't believe what companies have to go through and the cost that it amounts to. But again, it doesn't matter to them because the little butt kissers that they are to Israel, they spare no expense at our expense, just like our government, just like Congress. They spare no expense at our expense. They'll send any amount of money over to Israel. Israel wants. They do it every year. The money, the amount keeps going up every year, guys. Used to be $4 billion a year. Now I think it's over 10. Over $10 billion a year of your tax dollars going to that country that spies on us, that sabotages us, on and on and on it goes. Usually these symbols, these letters, are acronyms, as I said, for the Jewish organization that certifies the products as being kosher. When there's a K, obviously that's all it means, is simply kosher. Some examples of kosher taxed products include Arrowhead water. Did you know that water needs to be certified as kosher? Can you believe this? I mean, how do you kosher water? You know, you might think that being kosher just means that it's, it's been slaughtered in a special way so the blood drains out the neck. But when it comes to water, how the hell do you kosher that? There's so many stringent and ridiculous enslaving requirements in Judaism, guys, from out of the pages of the Talmud. This is what Christ talked about when he condemned the Pharisees, saying that you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. You're so concerned about your ceremonial washings before you have your meal, but you don't care about the corruption in your heart. You know, this is the kind of thing he was talking about. This went on back then, and it still goes on now. And so, yes, water has to be kosher. One of the requirements probably is that a Gentile never touch it. Scum of the earth. Guys, you're not going to believe how scandalous this is. It gets worse and worse as we dig into it. That is kosher.
vey. Oy, gewalt. It's like another shower. My Jimmy's on a ride on the mountain tonight. I'm rustled to the bones. I need 1,000 shills for backup, but it looks like I'm alone. Goyama howling with their racist stormfront pride. Couldn't shill alone, Yahweh knows I've tried. Won't let you win, won't set you free. Be the good guy that you're supposed to be. In 6 trillion, much doubt they sow. The Goyim know. Shut it down, shut it down. Can't speak your mind anymore. Shut it down, shut it down. No free speech for the Goy. Your rights end where my feelings begin. Let the storm front rage. We're just gonna shut it down anyways. It's funny how television makes real big things seem small. And I use the box to control you. 6 trillion Jews did fall. It's time to cheat and lie and Jew to build up Zion and break you. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. Shut it down, shut it down. My holy kingdom is divine. Shut it down, shut it down. Kiss your lands and homes goodbye. Your rights end where my feelings begin. Let the Arabs rage on. Currency drives markets to the ground. Your soul is spiraling to television's piper sound. And my hand waves and it is made to come to pass. I'll shut down every goy. My whim is their command. Shut it down. Shut it down. I raise the third temple at dawn. Shut it down. Shut it down. The age of the Goy is gone. Here I stand in New Zion, Oy Vey. Let the Arabs rage on. We're just gonna annex them anyways. That's where my house is going to be after we bulldoze these Palestinians.
Greetings, comrades. This is the trucker coming at you from Little America, Wyoming. On my way back to the homeland to make a delivery by Portland and do some home time. Anyway, I know we keep talking about the Puget Sound area and the mountains and stuff as a place to go and pound in your tent stakes. But there's other areas like... We have oceanfront property, and the only other place I've resided other than the Puget Sound area in my time in the homeland was spent a couple of years down there on the southern Oregon coast in Coos Bay, Oregon, while I was in the Navy. Nice little area. Not sure what the economic condition is now. At the time, it wasn't doing too hot. Like I say, that was the mid-80s, and... Logging was going through holy hell because of the tree huggers and all that kind of crap. But anyway, they got beaches down there. They got a lot of sand dunes there north of the Coos Bay, North Bend area. And all kinds of places to go and run your off-highway vehicles, be it three-wheelers, four-wheelers, sand rails, whatever, you can have a blast down there. I wasn't really much into that at the time. Still not, but if you have those kind of leanings, well, that might be an area to consider. They also have lakes down there, 10 Mile Lake. We used to go and take recreational services boat up there, or boats, because they had numerous ones, but take it up there and do water skiing or fishing or whatever. But anyway, so I just thought I'd throw this in there. Currently, at the end of summer, the water temperature out there on the Pacific Coast is about mid-60s. So it's not real warm water like you would find down there in Florida or San Diego or something like that. It's the cooler northern climate water. We don't have the Gulf Stream to help warm the water up here. But anyway, thought I'd go and insert this for a piece. So, like I say, currently I'm here in Wyoming. It was in the mid-80s during the day here at the beginning of September. Drops down. Right now it's down the low 50s here at night. So it's cooling off a little bit. I've seen it snow. I've seen I-80 shut down a few years back, the middle of September. So you never know when the snow is going to end up flying around here. They've already had snow up there in Montana, up around the Glacier Park National Recreation Area, National Park, whatever you want to classify it as. But anyway, so, okay, well, this is the Trucker signing off, just getting ready to roll out of here and head into Idaho and then on Oregon. So, well, hope to see you out here on the road making your scouting trip and migration soon. Have a good one, comrades. The Trucker signing off from Wyoming.
We're ambitious.
We're funny.
We're shysty.
We play by our own rules.
And we can be very naughty.
But we're all chosen.
We're Jews. And for now, we're on top. We've had a great run, from politicians to media moguls.
Centuries of control.
But we know it won't last forever. So for these final years of Jewish dominance, we're going to soak it all in. I'm going to complain.
I'm going to fleece the goyim for trillions.
I'm going to promote lesbianism and hatred of white men.
I'm going to screw some chicks of whores.
I'll make more porn.
I'm going to suck as many baby dicks as I can.
Hey, let's make this a good trot around the bases.
Let's get at least one more Fed chairman, even if it has to be another Yenta.
Hey!
Let's never forget the things we have accomplished.
Because eventually we'll get kicked out, like hundreds of times before.
And then, it's all yours, Goyim!
What exactly is the Scofield Reference Bible? Let us look critically at just one page of the book that has become the guide for secularist Jews in Israel and evangelical Christians in America to explain why they think present-day Israel has the right to all of the land in the Middle East, beginning with Palestine. Genesis 12:3 is part of the Torah and is quoted in the Quran. These three verses are standard in the King James translation and very similar in other Bibles. Let me paraphrase it as you read the Old English. The Lord told Abram to leave his home and family and go into a land that God would show him. God promised to then make of Abram a great nation, bless him, and make his name great, protect him by blessing his friends and cursing his enemies. And from Abram's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now for the part that is important to traditional Christians. I quote, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Christianity has for 2,000 years taken this to be the first notice from God of the coming Savior of mankind. Genesis 12:3 is the earliest covenant that God made to Abram, and it is the one used by Israelis and Christian Zionists to justify the idea that the entire Middle East should be Israeli property. I quote, Yet thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Zionists of all races interpret the phrase, into a land that I will show thee, as a perpetual land grant to present-day Israel. Now we will examine the most effective corrupter of Scripture in history, one Cyrus I. Schofield, a 19th century American. Note on page 19 that the footnotes dwarf the text. Note also that the italicized insertions in between the verses that are not part of the Bible. In the 1967 version of the Schofield Reference Bible, there are more footnotes than in the original 1909 version. And since the death of Schofield in 1921, the footnotes have grown to dwarf the text in these very important pages. Let's look again at the vital footnote 2 found in the Schofield Reference Bible in 1967 on page 19. The footnote reads, God made an unconditional promise of blessing through Abram's seed to the nation of Israel to inherit a specific territory forever. But the passage doesn't say anything like this. God orders Abram to go to a land that God will show him, using the first person familiar, thee, meaning Abram and no one but Abram. The passage does not say that God is giving any piece of land to anybody forever. It doesn't say anything about Israel.
Now, how complicated is it? Leave your land, go where I tell you to go, and I will protect you. How complicated is that? How many footnotes does it take to understand what God was saying to Abraham? I mean, anybody who reads that should be able to figure that out, that that's what the message is. But Mr. Schofield wrote all of this to explain it.
In fact, if we accept biblical history, we know that Abram had no children when this happened, and not for quite a while. So there was no person or nation named Israel when this promise was made. There was no state or nation named Israel. The man Israel did not even exist in Abram's imagination when God spoke to him. How then could Schofield or the Oxford University Press say that God was promising the land to the present-day state of Israel forever?
Where did the state of Israel get in this? When Abraham was spoken to by God, Israel, the man known as Israel, hadn't been born yet. He was two generations in the future. And he was not a state. He was a person that eventually had a tribe. And then after him, 3,000 years later, along comes a bunch of Europeans who name their state after him. But this says that God gave that land to the nation of Israel forever. Imagine 70 million people who are taught this every day.
The Oxford University Press did not stop there. Note 3 on page 19 reads, there is a promise of blessing upon the individuals and nations who bless Abram's descendants, and a curse lay upon those who persecute the Jew. The word Jew is used in the footnotes in describing an occurrence 2,000 to 3,000 years before the word Jew existed. In fact, Jew is taken from the name Judah, who was, it is told, one of the 12 grandsons of Abraham, Abram of Genesis 12. Neither Judah nor Jew existed, and this footnote is a false concoction. Note 3 continues, God's promised Abram and his seed certainly did not terminate at Sinai with the giving of the law. The New Testament and Old Testament are full of post-Sinai promises concerning Israel and the land which is to be Israel's everlasting possession. Listeners should be asking, why is Oxford University Press putting words in the mouths of the readers of this Bible? To make them think their God promises blessings and curses on people today based on how they think about or act toward present-day Jews and present-day Israel. What about all the other people in the world? Let's read further in the footnotes to Genesis 12:3. Promise to the Gentiles, I will bless them that bless thee. Those who honor Abram will be blessed, and curse them that curse thee. This was a warning literally fulfilled in the history of Israel's persecution. It has invariably fared ill with the people who have persecuted the Jew, and well with those who have protected him. And here is the punchline. For a nation to commit the sin of anti-Semitism brings inevitable judgment. The future will still more remarkably prove this principle. Isn't that convenient?
So now you have anti-Semitism is created in Abraham's time. The footnote to Abraham's words create and the word anti-Semitism. Christian Zionism believes that our nation will be judged if we are not sufficiently kind as a nation to the state of Israel. they have made sin a sort of a national corporate event rather than an individual thing. Of course, there is no such thing as national sin. Nations don't sin, we do. Individuals do, men do. But this has created a national sin so that Christian Zionists like John Hagee believe that God will rain fire down on our country, will somehow punish our entire nation for being insufficiently kind to the state of Israel.
Zionist-friendly Oxford University Press says in our Bible that the whole country will be considered in sin, and we will be in line for judgment from God if we are not properly friendly to the nation of Israel. And remember, there was no Jew in the time of Abram. There was no Israel at the time that Schofield penned the original notes, and it is doubtful that Cyrus Schofield would have even understood the enormity of the evil purpose for which his book was written. It was to have the most prominent Zionist publisher in the world, and it would deify a country that did not exist and would be born a force 40 years after his death.
Welcome, everyone, to Comedy Night at University College. Let's be very considerate to our first comedian, Jason Berkelman.
All right. What a good-looking crowd we have tonight.
Don't judge us based on any prevailing oppressive beauty norms.
Oh, okay. Sorry for that. Anyway, I just broke up with my girlfriend.
Relationship is exclusionary and prejudicial!
Okay, so I just flew in, guys, and the snacks on airplane. What, are you allergic to peanuts?
Fear of flying was on a list of trigger warnings we sent you.
Who are these people?
We're the victims of your hate speech.
We'll need to secure a safe place for our protesters.
They seem angry.
And here we go with the tone policing.
Acknowledge your white privilege!
I was going to with some of my jokes.
Like this one. I went on vacation in Jamaica.
Racist!
With my dad.
Patriarchist!
He smoked pot, guys! It's funny!
Mansplain the bigot!
Jason, there's at least 8 different genders in the audience right now. They're not all guys.
Well, that now I feel like I can't say anything!
Of course you can, Jason. This is a free speech zone.
Okay. Alright, so, what else is going on here?
Stop affecting me!
You're worse than him!
My name is Edgar J. Steele, and this is a nickel rant entitled Brainworms. I have a headache. It won't go away. Brainworms. That's what I think it must be. Brainworms. I can feel them in there now, wriggling, writhing, eating away at what little is left of my reasoning capability. Why else do you suppose it is that I seem to think so differently from the vast majority of Americans? There must be a rational explanation, after all. Of course, if I have brain worms, and my ability to be rational has been compromised, how would I ever know what is or is not rational? Or as Ogden Nash once put it, ever so succinctly, see the happy moron. He doesn't give a damn. I wish I were a moron. My God, perhaps I am. Maybe I'm like Denny Crane, the character on TV's Boston Legal played so marvelously by William Shatner. As Crane, Shatner claims to have mad cow disease, so as to excuse his incredibly politically incorrect and sometimes totally whacked out statements and behavior. Does Crane really believe he has mad cow disease, or is it just a ploy? Does he really have it, do you suppose? Shatner's character is wonderfully vague about it. Like pretending to be drunker, or more stoned than you really are. Then the next morning, wondering whether or not you really were. I suspect the Crane character honestly doesn't know. Kind of like Ogden Nash's moron. Or me and my brainworms. Now don't go thinking I'm making all this up. Brainworms are real. They exist. Even the Snopes.com page on brainworms, while disputing that a couple of undoctored photographs display brainworms, avoids deciding if brainworms exist. Maybe the Snopes people have brainworms too. Or mad cow disease. Or both. How would they ever know? Do you suppose that mad cow disease is, in fact, caused by brainworms? Late at night, when the house is really quiet, and I can't seem to get to sleep, I think that I can hear them whispering to one another as they busily munch away at what is left of my ability to reason. Brainworms. That's when I find it is all that I can do to keep from getting out the hacksaw in order to learn the truth once and for all. Do you suppose that brainworms are what George W. Bush really hears when he claims that God speaks to him and tells him to kill Arabs? That could explain a lot, you know. George Bush just might be in an advanced state of mad cow disease, with his skull literally crawling with creepy little critters. That might explain his much-reported temper tantrums, not to mention Bush's inability to speak above a sixth-grade level. Brainworms. They're everywhere, I tell you. WorldNet Daily thinks so. It's on the Internet, after all, so it must be true. WorldNet Daily, WND, to its intimates, is an Internet news portal that I rarely frequent now that it has gone over to the dark side. Just like comedian Bill Maher, WND tries to come off as politically incorrect, even though it supports the Zionist agenda right down the line. Now I'll get another nasty email from Joe Farah, WND's publisher, I suppose. You know, it's been a while, but Joe and I used to have some spirited exchanges. Maybe Joe has brainworms, come to think of it. If so, then I can understand how he managed to throw his lot in with America's fundamentalist, dispensationalist wackos. For some reason, I still like Joe Farah, but I have to admit that he seems more like Denny Crane all the time. But then, maybe that is precisely why I still like him. The condition is very rare in Muslim countries where eating pork is forbidden, reports WND about brainworms in an increasingly rare moment when it is not busy supporting America's current criminal regime and attributing everything wrong with the world today to things Arab. Now, don't get me wrong. WND does good work, too. For instance, this very article reporting on brainworms that I mentioned is yet another in a long series of articles bemoaning the avalanche of illegal immigrants now smothering southwestern America with its rubble. So, Arabs don't have brainworms? You know, that suggests why Arab and Iranian Muslims revere Jesus Christ, yet must defend themselves and their societies against the strangest sort of Christians, American rapture freaks like George W. Bush, who want to exterminate all Arabs and Iranians. Did you know that Iranians predominantly are Aryan, with a surprising number of them also being devout Christians? The same American rapture bunnies mentioned previously, fundamentalist, dispensationalist, whack jobs all, incredibly enough, universally support godless Israel, the vast majority of whose people readily admit to being atheists. Despite the Christian support that keeps them alive, Israelis, together with their mostly atheistic Jewish brethren in America, do everything they can to extinguish Christianity throughout the world. Go figure. I'll bet you also didn't know that the portion of southern Lebanon that underwent the greatest destruction by Israeli forces in their recent genocidal frenzy, was almost exclusively Christian. Truly, life is stranger than fiction. I would just laugh out loud at the outrageous irony of it all if those lunatics didn't demand that you and I pay for it, with both our money and our blood. My children's blood, in my case, who are expected to die in some squalid Arab hellhole for the greater glory of Israeli Middle Eastern hegemony. Am I the only one to whom the foregoing scenario seems straight out of Alice in Wonderland? If only it were literary giant Charles Dodgson. You might better recall Dodgson by his pseudonym, Lewis Carroll. Leading us through the looking glass this time, instead of a deranged megalomaniac like that little dictator from Texas. I know it seems off subject, but did you know that Charlie Chaplin, the communist Jewish, but I repeat myself, comedian of a century ago who played an inept Hitler lookalike in the movie The Great Dictator, actually lost out to two other fellows when he surreptitiously entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest? Now, that might strike you as being particularly odd, but I'll bet it looked a lot like George Bush trying to seem presidential. Mentioning Lewis Carroll's masterpiece of political commentary in the same breath as Chaplin's political burlesque may be akin to mixing metaphors, but that's the very sort of odd connection that might result from brainworms tunneling through one's gray matter. Modern theoretical physicists posit the same sort of thing, you know, that celestial wormholes might well link otherwise distant and disconnected regions of space. All this talk of mixing causes me to consider mixing a drink. Maybe that will make my headache go away. Or, at least, make it so that I don't care about America anymore. Just like most of my countrymen seem not to care. Brainworms. Virtually all Americans must have them. It's the only possible explanation, you know. My name is Edgar J. Steele. Thanks for listening.
And now it's time for something grim and gory and bloody. Let me bum you out.
Good evening to you, mister, the bounty hunter said. You don't know me, but I know there's a price upon your head. I know you're wanted, dead or alive, that's what the posters say. But I never shoot a man at night when he ain't had time to pray. So I'll give you until sunrise tomorrow, my friend, before I come to shoot you down and bring your body in. I warn you that I do my work quite well with gun or knife. I've tracked down many a man, I've taken many a life. Father, do not mourn for me. Mother, do not weep. Whatever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. I spent a long and sleepless night with fear upon my breast, trying to get ready for my morning duel with death. I hid up in a hayloft out on the edge of town, and at sunrise the bounty hunter came to shoot me down. Fired down the bounty hunter standing in the street. He raised his gun and fired around the shots back up at me. He hit my chest and shoulder and my gun flew from my hand. Now I'm trapped up in this hayloft, a wounded unarmed man. Father, do not mourn for me. Mother, do not weep. Whatever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Holds his fire and hollers up at me. Come out and take it like a man, I'll make it quick and clean. I know my time is running out and there's no way I can stall. So I reach and grab the pitchfork that's hanging on the wall. My body arches as I stretch and face the rising sun. And I feel like a warrior's bow freshly carved and strung. I launch my body through the air and the pitchfork in my hand stabs the bounty hunter through the chest, pins him to the sand. Now my muscles start to rust, my thoughts are growing cold, while Gabriel and Satan shoot craps for my soul.
I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of Auschwitz and trains and ovens hot.
Really? I'm guessing you don't have much experience with camps.
No, but sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it would be like when the Gestapo comes. Oy vey. Measle buzz. Kids will blow dandelion fuzz and I'll be doing what a Jew does in Auschwitz. A drink in my hand, my tuchus against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in Auschwitz. I'll finally meet the work camp guards, oh they're all such pleasant guys. They wake me each morning before the sun's up, our bite macht frei. And I can't wait to see how my work makes me free. Just imagine the smell of Zyklon B in Auschwitz. Oi, 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 vey. Oi, vey, oi, gewalt, oi, vey. I love the amenities, just you watch. Their lampshades and soap are just top-notch. Oi, vey, oi, gewalt, oi, vey, oi, gewalt, oi, vey. Germans and Jews, it's a conflict of classes. Put us together and I'll be a happy merchant. When life gets rough, I like to hold on to my dream. Relaxing in the shower rooms, just letting off steam. Oh, the sky would be blue, and you guys will be there too. When I finally do what Jewish things do in Auschwitz.
I'm gonna tell him.
Don't you dare.
In Auschwitz.
But our time is up for this week's edition of Radio Free Northwest. This program is brought to you by the Northwest Front, Post Office Box 2188, Bremerton, Washington 98310. Or you can go to the party's website at www.northwestfront.org. This is Harold Covington, Freedom.
Still is beating heart.